Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And welcome, everybody, to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we'll be talking about return on the PGA Tour to, they're returning to La Quinta, but title sponsors have changed over the years, and it's the American Express Tournament now at La Quinta, at PGA Tour West, and or PGA West, and so we'll talk a little bit about that, return of some notable players as well that are going to be probably in the spotlight in the next few days at that event, and see what's up there. We also have some controversy with Justin Thomas and what happened in Hawaii and the lingering effects of that, what we think about that as well. Earl Forsey, our good friend with PGA Tour Radio, will be joining us shortly to talk about PGA Tour and all other things Forsey-ish, if you will, which could be almost anything. Coming to us from the nation's capital, too. The heartbeat, the epicenter of what we've been hearing about, watching for the last few days, and Earl's right there for that, too. So maybe a little political slant just on that side of what's happening in the nation's capital and living there through all of this kind of stuff. So Earl will have something to say about all of that. Frank Bassett, our good friend, as always, in the Nashville studios. Frank, how are you doing today?
Doing good. It's raining in Nashville. Garth Brooks is being ostracized for singing at the inauguration, and Katy Perry's the queen of all fashion. So after yesterday, I just don't know what to think, boys. Whatever. You know, here we go. Let's just all be happy.
Yesterday was the inauguration.
Yeah.
Your reference was the inauguration yesterday. Yeah. So there was a lot going on.
Yeah, there was.
We can say that.
Garth sang Amazing Grace, amazingly, by the way. Yeah, our friend Garth Brooks. I mean, we know Garth.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. He did it because he loves the country. Get off of his back, people. They're jumping all over him on Facebook and Twitter and everything. Get off his back. Garth Brooks.
I know.
He'll buy your house and throw you out. So he's got plenty of money.
Everybody's picking sides. It's just
let's
at some
be
point
happy.
I kind of think let's just be good about America, being Americans, and stop worrying about which side you're on the whole time.
Rodney King, baby. Can't we just all get along?
Awareness out. So we got the man. The American Express tournament coming up, and that's kind of cool out at La Quinta. Been out there before and covered that tournament. That's that tournament, Frank. We're about a few years back when it was the Career Builder was the sponsor, as I said. Different sponsors have come in and out there in the last 10 years. And during the Career Builder, it was almost ending, 18th hole. We were all media-wise standing there, and I was working with PGA Tour Radio and waiting to see who was going to win it. I can't even remember at this point who, but it was getting kind of dramatic. And it was sponsored by the Clinton Foundation. And so Bill Clinton would be there for the final day, and he'd award the trophy and everything. And as we were standing there for the pathway, if you will, between the big risers and the bleachers and everything and the hospitality tents all around 18, there was a tunnelway to go from outside to the inside by the green. That's where Clinton would go and present the trophy. Well, he and his Secret Service started making that move, right? And we're all kind of by that tunnelway. And all of a sudden, you see Clinton walking, and you're like, "Oh, here he comes!" I'm standing there with 25 other people, right? Media-wise, we all had mics and all that kind of stuff. He walks directly towards me, and as he's getting closer and closer, I'm kind of thinking, "Is he going to like curve to the right here and go to that tunnel?" Because, and he doesn't, and he walks right up to me, puts his hand out, and says, "How you doing? It was a pretty good tournament today, wasn't it?" Like, and I'm like, "Yes, Mr. President." And then the Secret Service are all around. They got their fingers in their ears, like, you know, "Who's this guy? Who's this guy? Check him out." And I'm just like thinking, why did he walk up to? Because he didn't say it to a bunch of guys.
And Earl
and I don't know him. He just kind of walked up and shook my hand and said a few things, and he moved on. And I was like, "Wow, that was pretty cool, I guess." But I don't know why he picked me.
And our good friend Earl Forsey was probably doing the play-by-play, right? He was doing. I mean, he was doing the hosting. The play-by-play.
I think Earl was.
So he was listening.
I wasn't on, but I wasn't on the air at the time. Otherwise, I would have referenced it. But I wasn't on the air. We had to kind of just do this interviews before we got to that. But yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, that brings us to Earl. Earl's with us. He's listening to us ramble on here. So let's bring him in. Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio joins us. You've had your touch, I imagine, being in Washington for the last 107 years. You probably have had your touch with some of the presidents, have you not, Earl?
No, I have not. Actually, no.
No,
not personally.
Wow, that's an at bat, Tim. That's
I'm
a lost at bat.
Down, but I, you know, I, I'm not Ron Burgundy. I'm not kind of a big deal. I'm just a guy that does sports 7 days a week. And
I wasn't either. I just was there.
So
you know?
I've been around a few of these events, obviously knowing people and, you know, family and stuff like that. But yeah. No, it's not like they just walk around and, you know, come up to you behind you in coffee line.
But
a lot of people do, you know, it's.
Earl, you do a lot of interviews, though, when you're out at tournaments, when you're, you know, hosting PGA Tour Radio Live.
Yeah.
Who's the most famous person, or the most interesting person, I should say, that you've had the opportunity to have on the broadcast with you?
On the golf, doing the golf stuff?
Yeah, absolutely.
There have been politicians and, you know, high-profile ones in the past. Greg Norman was kind of cool. I never, you know, he doesn't do much stuff with, you know, and Leaf wasn't, so they... Got brought him at a PGA Championship one time, and I thought that was pretty cool. It's, you know, it's a freaking shark, you know, sitting down, and he always looks the same. You know, he just always looks like, you know, somebody turn a clock back to like 1983.
I just hate that.
Over time, I mean, there's a lot, you know, and look, I've talked to a lot of athletes just in settings, locker room settings, and that type of thing. You know, I was there the night Jordan came back in Chicago. So talking to all those guys, and that was Shaq, Penny, and the Magic. I was at, you know, Cal's record breaker in Baltimore. So I've been around a lot of that stuff. But you know, I mean, do I count that? No, because that's my job. You know, I mean, that's
a cool job.
Do I mean I can list, but I tell you, honestly, it's sports settings, obviously, but I'm not counting like locker room things, or you're in a presser, or you're in a locker room, or that kind of thing. Like a lot of members of the media, they always want to, you know, whether it's their perception or not, you know, like get close to athletes they cover. I've never, you know, maybe it's me. Maybe they just don't want to get near me too much. But it's not like I've had these binding relationships. Usually it's afterwards, you know, a couple of like former Washington football players afterwards, and working with them a lot, you start a little bit of a, you know, I wouldn't call
relationship.
Media members want to call them friends, and I think they're just casually nice to you. You know, I wouldn't call them friends like I have them on speed dial or my. But it's always fun. You know, you look at your contacts. I always like look at contacts, see who you have in there. And some of these things, I don't even know if the numbers are right. But the one I thought was really great, I tell you honestly, to me, was I was at an Olympic event in D.C., years ago. I mean, it's a long time ago. And then it was U.S. Olympic Committee. They were doing something in D.C. and it was an event. So we were broadcasting live. I was doing shows for the event. And one of the persons they got to sit down was the late George Steinbrenner, the former owner of the Yankees, who was always involved in the Olympic Committee. The Olympic Committee has all these executives, you know, like run the board, right? And I guess they still do it that way. But in their heavyweights, I mean, they're big people. It was, you know, it used to be Commissioner Baseball, Peter Ueberroth, used to be involved in all that. But Steinbrenner was always involved in it. And honest, he sat down for probably 15 or 20 minutes. And, you know, we've all heard stories about Steinbrenner and, you know, the way the Yankees ran and what a tough guy he was. He was one of the best interviews, one of the nicest persons I've ever talked to. And addressed you by your name like he'd known you for 20 years. You know, he walked away and I was just thinking to myself, wow, that was different than I expected. You know, stuff like that catches you sometimes. And it's perception and reality. What people, now I don't know if it was an act, it probably was more, but it was fantastic. A guy like that, you're thinking you're really dealing with someone who's going to be hard to talk to and really probably have no time for you, you know, and it was just the opposite. It was great. So, yeah, you know, I mean, Super Bowls and Olympics and stuff like that, you know, and a lot of that stuff is just casually running into people, you know, especially a lot of the Olympics I did with it was both CBS and NBC. So in those environments, everything is kind of in one, you're in one building, but it's in one main, it's like a, and those press centers, especially when you're with rights holders, it's like studios, basically. So you always see people walking through the halls and down the halls or having lunch and all that stuff, you know, all the fame, the athletes and everything that are doing TV. And I'm sitting there, you know, slumming doing radio. that no one cares about. But, so that stuff is always interesting because, but I've been around that for so long. I've been asked that stuff a lot, and I know people have their, list of top five, top ten. I don't. It's what I do, and it's kind of just part of the job to me. But it's interesting time to time, and I'll just see someone, it'll trigger it, Oh yeah, I remember, and then I start telling the kids about it or my wife about it, and they ignore me. So because they don't want to hear that stuff, I'll just start rambling.
They don't care.
Then I flip on game shows on TV or something, and sit on the couch and watch that, and not annoy them. But yeah, I don't have. those things, I really, honestly, and I'm trying to think, the way our coverage works and everything, and I'm not there when they walk off or anything like that. I'm trying to think real quick while we're doing this, but one-on-one, I've never dealt with Tiger or anything. I've briefly talked to him, just a casual thing in passing or something, but I don't. Doing this thing, I don't have to do that, and I usually don't do that, so I miss out on all those opportunities.
Yeah, that's the Fred Albers, and
I don't get the hobnob like all these other guys.
And Doug Bell and Fred and Tim when he was doing PGA Tour Radio, and all those guys get
Fred
to do all that.
Fred's got everybody's number.
Fred does have everybody's number.
Fred's on the tour.
He
really does. Yeah. He's been doing it for since Eisenhower,
since Lincoln. Right?
So yeah,
I'm guessing that's a one-sided relationship there. But.
We're joined by Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio.
Ring up the phone and you see call blocked.
Call blocked. That's your best friend. Call blocked. Hey, Earl, we're talking about PGA Tour and the restart. Actually, we talked about this last week. There's already been, 14 tournaments in this part of the wraparound season. I mean, they started, people forget about it all happening way back almost September. So we're already well into it, but the new year, if you will, and everything starting in Hawaii, now we're at La Quinta again, and Brooks Koepka. We have not seen Brooks Koepka in quite a while, and he is in the field at the American Express along with Patrick Reed and Tony Finau and some other pretty big names, some guys maybe you haven't seen in a little bit that will be playing in this event. Koepka, though, caught a lot of people's imagination, not only because of his, obviously, skills and the streak he's gone through in recent years and done so well, but also the fact that it doesn't seem like he, I'm not saying he doesn't care, but he has a different attitude. He doesn't seem as driven maybe as other people when it comes to his professional career and what he's doing. How do you look at Koepka? Do you think he's good for the game? Do you think he's? I've had people tell me that they don't like him because he doesn't seem like he cares. He kind of does his own thing and doesn't seem to have the drive that other guys do. He has natural ability, and that's how he wins. But he's an interesting subject. What do you think about Brooks Koepka?
Well, do I think he's good for the game? Yeah, one of the best players when he's healthy, sure. And this whole, people don't think, who cares what people think? I mean, now, who doesn't care what people think? Brooks Koepka. And that's what people don't like. And that's fine. Yeah, you need different – and athletes, and it's everybody. And I always say athletes because this is what I'm around, but professional athletes are interesting because it's their job, folks. Whatever anybody does day to day in their life, do we all get up and look in the mirror and we're fresh and we're pumped and we're ready to go because we just love what we do and everything about it? I'm going to give the answer no. And I'm guessing that's the answer that most people would give. It is a job. And you get into the job for two reasons. You love what you do, and it's this sport or any other sport, or you're really good at it. I've talked about this in other sports, too, from time to time, on even the shows I do in Washington, D.C. And I'm not saying this about him. I'm just saying in general. And sometimes some athletes, professional athletes, and some of the best ever, some of the best in their game, play that sport because they're good at it. And they can earn a pretty good living doing it. And that's what they do. And it's as simple as that. I don't think Koepka is that kind of guy. I think when you look at where he's come from as a player, you know, and not the, one of these anointed next great things really coming out of college, had to earn his way through the Challenge Tour in Europe and went over there and did it that way, you know. I think that shows a lot of drive for a guy that he really wanted that to get where he is. And pretty quickly, honestly, you know, in the era of DJ and McElroy and, you know, Times Tiger still and all this and one of those guys, and this is, I'll get into it with other sports too. Here's another example. The love hate, there's 50% of the people here, 50% of the people there. Example, quarterback wins, right? Some people think it's a stupid number. Well, quarterbacks don't win, teams win. And other people think it's important, like me, because I think it's important who's in charge when the team is winning. And the same thing with golf, in this sense, majors. Those are huge. Those are still, look, it's still, in the end, what one of the main measurements of comparing people are. And he's one of those guys, you know, how many great players along the way in their careers have struggled to win majors or, you know, maybe win one and that's it. And here's a guy that, you know, was going back to back like it's nothing, like it's candy on Halloween. I mean, it has a ton of them already and then has the injury issue. So, you know, wasn't the same thing too. And it's perception because you don't know how these guys are motivated. Some guys are, you know, fire and brimstone and, you know, yelling and screaming. That's the kind of guy I would be. And some just are low key and just go about it and don't outwardly give. And I'm not, this is not just him and it's not just golf. I'm talking about athletes and professional athletes in particular. So you don't know. The results speak for themselves. I don't see him as a guy that doesn't care or doesn't, you know, maybe it's not important to him. I think that's just the way he is. And, you know, another really good player, happens to be number one. Dustin Johnson kind of gives that vibe, has over his career, the way he approaches things. But in the end, that's why he is so good at what he does. Probably it's better to be that way, to kind of be, it's the old even keel thing and not get too high, too low, the old coach cliche. But there's a lot of truth to that. And I think maybe Koepka gives that perception, but there is no way guys like that work as hard as they do to do what they do as successfully as they do without caring about what they do and without having a passion. Some people just express it and others don't. And I think, you know, to me, that's fine. I think you can separate that and you should.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think that part of it too is the social media aspect, which is for newer, younger golfers, if you will, versus old school people that and might be 40 plus or 50 plus who don't get into that as much. And he's very much into that. He and his girlfriend are constantly putting stuff in there. And I think that probably makes people think, well, he's always vacationing. Well, a lot of those guys are always vacationing. You just don't see it. He kind of posts about it all the time. So you kind of see him on a boat in the ocean somewhere all the time. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here at the American Express at La Quinta and how the tournament goes. We also got to talk about Tiger a little bit here, Earl. Tiger just had another surgery. And I kind of want to get your thoughts on what you expect from Tiger. He says, they say, that he'll be okay for the Masters. He's going to miss a few tournaments, but it's kind of like knee surgery. Sometimes it's a scope and it's a little thing and it's only a couple of weeks. Other times it's more major and it's a few months that he's going to be out. But anytime you talk about Tiger and his back, reason to be concerned a little bit, I think, don't you?
See, don't you? Of course. Look, and we don't know. I mean, again, it's not like it just happened. Apparently this happened, the surgery, you know, and it's this, you know, you just don't get a lot of information, and I don't blame him, out of his camp. And, you know, so we get this word this week that it happened, and Noda Begay's, you know, on the air talk about, yeah, I just spoke with him. He's already swinging the club and hitting some balls lately. So this didn't happen this week. It happened recently, and you never know. But, I mean, when you know, guys, it's five now, five back surgeries, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how many can you have?
Yeah.
And I'm not a doctor, so I don't know.
Well, this was a disc and it's, replacement, right? I mean, that's what a lot of the...
Or removal.
Removal,
they took out a disc, I think.
Well, it was something causing issues with the nerve that had to be addressed. However, they do that with the microdiscectomy that they do.
Ooh, and you are a doctor.
And I cringe at thinking of that. And the guys had... I know it's different, but, you know, other athletes, again, when you have five knee surgeries or five this, when it's the same thing over and over and over again, it's harder and harder. And I think we've seen him, maybe he can get back to points where he has a good week or a good little run, or, and that's what you get. And that's what you're going to have to hope for if you're a Tiger fan, that at some point he gets back to that, and mainly these big events that he can play. But I mean, it was always looking, you know, in the last year, I think he has not played much, that that's what you're going to get out of him now at this point in his career. And he's kind of resolved himself to that, that it's going to be, and all the stories you hear about him when he does play, you know, how much work that goes in for him to, on a regular day to kind of warm up and gear up and get, I mean, it takes hours, you know, so it's, this is not like he's just showing up and playing, you know, even when he had addressed these back issues. So, yeah, I mean, of course it's a concern because, you know, at some point you're just not going to be able to do that anymore and come back and play at this high a level. And even for as great a player as he is, and you know this, guys, that it's just, golf is such a unique thing because it's not a week to week. It's not, you don't build up over the course of the season where you have to be, you know, winning a bunch of games to get to the playoffs and then win when you get there. Golf is, you know, you can kind of pick your spots and hit and miss. It's okay to not have good weeks and then have a great week at the right time. That makes your year. And that's kind of where he is right now, I think. And obviously it's all for him about, and for Tiger fans, I mean, all about that date in April, that weekend, if he can get back and play. And again, that I think personally, just looking at it with doing what I've done for 35 years, just looking at those statements, when you say, I hope you'll be ready for the Masters and all that, but there's no timetable or anything like that. You just, you know, we've kind of heard that before. And then, yeah, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And then the week comes up and it's not fine. So you just, no one knows for sure, and you're not going to know for sure until that week is my point. I think it's kind of the short end of it. And it's still better when Tiger's in the field and playing golf. And unfortunately, you know, this is the time of year where you start gear up to play a little bit, you know, in Torrey Pines and that kind of thing. And it's not going to happen this year. And you know, you just have to wonder how many these he can go through and be competitive. That's all.
We're talking with Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio, and another controversial thing that's happened recently, Earl, and Frank too, kind of like to hear what you think about this, was involving Justin Thomas at the Century Tournament of Champions, and he muttered a word that he regrets uttering, and got in trouble, and has apologized profusely about it, but he's been dropped by at least Ralph Lauren. Other sponsors so far seem to be sticking with him. But it certainly is a reason for people to look at Justin Thomas, I guess, maybe a little bit differently. But is that, Earl, the question, I guess, is that the world we're in now of just people will call it the cancel culture and everything else, that we don't have any second chances. You do something wrong and you're going to get punished for it. You're going to get hit hard for it. That's what happened here. There hasn't been a long history, as far as I know, of Justin Thomas saying these words or doing that. But today, maybe it just takes one to do it, and you're out, at least from Ralph Lauren, which I'm sure was a very lucrative deal that he's had since he turned pro. So it's been years and years. How do you take in all that?
Okay, not my place to comment it, but I'm just going to say very briefly what he did. You can't do, just flat out, you can't do. He apologized. Hopefully, he learns and moves on.
Yep.
And the other side is, you know, I've one take as well. There's microphones and stuff all over the place now. Yeah, there are. And you can't do that, bottom line.
There's certain words you don't say. Period. There are just certain words you don't say. And it slipped out. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm above anyone else. I've said lots of bad things in my life. But I haven't been on microphone and I haven't been on that stage. And I haven't had a multi-million dollar contract with Ralph Lauren. And it's up to Ralph Lauren, in my opinion, to protect their brand. That's their job, just like the PGA Tour protects their brand. And they should. That's what they've built. I don't know that Justin Thomas, in my opinion, needs to go to sensitivity training for that. He's young. But, you know, a little bit of that never hurt anybody. Maybe to sit down with somebody and say, you know, how can I be a better person? And it's a learning moment. And I wish him the best. It's unfortunate. It's so unfortunate that it happened. But He'll be fine. He'll be back. He'll be fine. He's apologized. He is sincerely upset about what happened. So let's just wish him the best and move on and try to be nicer and kinder and gentler to our friends and our foes, too. So, there.
Okay. There you go. Well, we'll see what happens, and he'll be we'll see him again soon on the tour. I'm not sure what his schedule is going to entail as far as when he returns, but it'll linger for a little bit, but that'll eventually fade. But he'll certainly get questioned about it the next time he's, you know, ready for a tournament. But, yeah, as he said, he goes, it's not a word I normally would say, but obviously it was inside my brain somewhere, and it came out, and I got to figure out why it was in there, and I shouldn't have. And I think that's a positive way to look at it and say, so for whatever reason, I still said it, and I shouldn't, and I'll learn from it and move on. And so there we are. But in the meantime, it's definitely going to be costing him at least a little bit. And if not just the money, which isn't always the most important thing, but certainly in just his feelings or the respect he gets or doesn't get now from other people or fans or whatever, that part I think is going to be the toughest for him, is to feel that he let some people down. So that's what he's going to work on and try to learn from.
Well,
Earl, got to change gears here on you a little bit and talk a little football. Your Redskins made it. I'm sorry. Your Washington football team.
Washington football
made it. Love that name. The WTF. Yeah, the WTFs. Yeah. And apparently they'll be the WTFs for another year.
WFTs.
I don't know how long it takes to find a nickname, but Washington football. WFT. Sorry, my bad. Yeah, WFTs.
TF.
The initials.
Easy.
yeah, the WTFs. That's what I call them.
And we thank you for listening, folks. We're off the air.
Thanks for being there. I know. That's what you could do in a podcast. But so they don't have a name. That's my first question, Earl, is are they going to get a nickname in the next 5 or 6 years?
No.
Or are they just going to let it linger for a while?
I like this name.
Secondly, what about the upcoming playoffs? We'll forget about after you tell us what you think about the nickname solution. But you got two games coming up. We'll let you know or find out what you think about the Chiefs-Bills and Tampa-Green Bay. But first, new nickname? This upcoming season, or are we going to go through another year of Washington football team?
Oh, you're going through another year then. There's no doubt. It's not going to happen before next year. If it happens, it won't happen, my guess. And just everything that kind of I've been able to, from what the inside, all the executives are saying and everything, that it was going to be, from when they started this at the end of last summer, it was going to be a year-long at least process for them to figure out what they want. And then, you know, if you figure out names, then you got to do all this research on copyrights and trademarks and all this stuff. So that would take you to right before next season starts, and they're not going to announce a name right before next season starts. It's, if something happened, it would be maybe during the season where the name wouldn't change, and the following year it does. So yeah, I think people, it's really strange in two ways. And these are, and you know, it's not unusual for team names to change. Obviously, it's happened recently in the NFL. I mean, we have when teams move, that kind of thing.
Oilers, Titans.
Oilers and Titans, and you know, they were the Oilers for a while when they moved, and then they became Titans. You know, and the Ravens and all that stuff when they got the new team, and they became the Ravens, and they're still Colts in Indianapolis, but that worked well because, you know, Colts and Indianapolis, you know, the horse racing and that state and everything. So, you know, in that area. So it's not going to happen anytime soon. It's going to stay Washington football team, which a lot of people, because a lot of people like to think they're funny and witty, you know, have a lot of fun with the football team thing. It's like, you know, score Giants this, football team this. You know, it's Washington. And we've gotten used to saying it because, again, now when you're in a place like I am, there are 57 different teams, you know, with colleges and sports. So, you know, you have, and Tim, you know this, in Dallas, I mean, I think I brought this up when we talked about it the last time. When you're in places like this, I never refer to, historically, I haven't, and I've gotten used to Washington football team. I do shows every week. And it just, doing it my entire life the other way, it was hard to switch over, and you have to really consciously think. I don't even think about it anymore. You know, and referring to them as the WFT, the Washington football team, or Washington. But when I do sport, if I'm doing a sportscast and I'm talking about the NBA, the hockey team, football in the NFL, and baseball, I've got four teams there. They're all Washington. I never say Washington, right? It's the Caps. Right. It's the Wizards. It's the Nats. It's so this was an environment. If you do what I do in this town, you always said the nickname. You never referred to them as Washington. I don't ever think I refer to the Washington football team as Washington. It's not the way they were. No. So that's the whole thing. It's not, it's like changing your actual name, you know, and so it was tough. And, you know, there a lot of the fan base has not changed the way they refer to the team. And, you know, it's, that's the way it is. And a lot of people are going to resist it. And two things are there. Everybody thinks they got brilliant ideas about a name. Okay. And Twitter is full of Twitter marketing people and Twitter NFL experts and Twitter GM experts. And they're not at all. It's why they're not doing what, you know, they're not involved in sports and in marketing. A lot of the names, quite honestly, that people throw out stink. They're awful. It's embarrassing. And
quite honestly.
And they want to make tie-ins to things, you know, like locally. Like, again, you've got, it's either alliteration, like Tennessee Titans, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
Or it's something that has to do with locally, 49ers, the Gold in Sanford, you know, all this stuff, right? But, you know, how many, I've always said that, how many lakes are there in Los Angeles? Not many,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
They were from Minneapolis.
How much jazz are they playing in Utah?
I've been to Salt Lake City, not really known for jazz, okay? Sometimes yeah. names just don't have anything. Now,
a lot Lakers of pianos at the Mormon
natural,
Church.
That fits. It's L.A. Lakers. It's just, but there's no, it's Minneapolis. Yeah. So if there's a history of that, too, where teams just move and just say, screw it. Utah Jazz. Yeah. I mean, right. You know, so everybody's got to have a tie-in with D.C. and everything else. I don't know if that's going to happen because some of those games, again, people push back against too. So here's the thing. And then the second part of it, they won the division title as the Washington football team. Okay. And those uniforms with the, so there is the superstitious that people that pay attention that, you know, think, you know, if they wear white, they're not going to lose that people, which is true because they hadn't until the playoff game. That's the old white thing, the old white uniform. They wore that. They were like 4-0. And so it's a big game uniform. Apparently it's not what I grew up with, but that's the other thing that there is a segment that feels, well, the Washington football team has never lost a division title. It's good luck, and maybe it is, you know, with everything they've gone through in the front office and everything. And then Rivera comes in, and there's this whole new kind of – it's not just a coaching change. There was a lot. There's a lot in the – a lot of a mess that's been swept under the rug for decades that is being kind of cleaned up and at least addressed. So this was – I can't understand that. And there is no – I can't see any – way that the number one sport in the world and the number one sports league in the world, the National Football League, is going to permanently have a football team named the football team. Right? I just can't see that.
Right. I don't
think it's going to be permanent. Some people would be okay with it. It is what it is. I don't think that's going to be the case, but I also don't believe that it's going to change next year. We may know something next year. But it's going to change. And, you know, the NBA team, I mean, I grew up because they came to the Washington Wizards down, because that was a Baltimore team. That was another alliteration, the Baltimore Bullets, the old NBA team. In the late 60s, early 70s, they moved to Washington and became the Washington Bullets. And that's where they won their championships
and the championship in the 70s and were a really good team then. And then because the you know, connotations of that and everything, the owner in, you know, whenever it was 20 years ago, maybe not, changed the name. And they had this naming contest and all this stuff. And they came up with Washington Wizards, which is the alliteration, obviously. Right. But people, since that name has been in place, hate the name. They just hate it. And it's not a really good name. So that's the whole box that's been opened now. In reality, whatever it's going to be, it's the football team now. A lot of people don't like that. And whatever it's going to be, a lot of people aren't going to like it either. And that topic in this town, even when it does change permanently, is not going to go away. And there's still going to be people referring to them as, you know, it's the name that they have been all along. And it is what it is. I'm more concerned about who they find as a quarterback is my thing.
Yeah. You
know, I don't.
Well, two observations here, though.
That topic bores me. It is what it is. It's the Washington football team, and it's just, you know, it's fine. It's Washington. It's I'm fine with it.
Two observations. Okay. Number one,
yeah,
you said Utah Jazz, and there's no jazz in Utah. Mm. Well, the Mormon Church is the largest purchaser of Steinway pianos in the world. Okay, so let's just get that out there. Period. So
I know time in Salt Lake City, by the way.
I know
still doesn't make it jazz.
I know some of those pianos. Boys in the Mormon Church are sitting back boogie woogieing, buddy. I got to tell you,
I spent almost a month there with the Olympics 2002.
Yeah,
it was good. I had a good time.
Good music in Salt Lake City. Good fun.
Private club. You know, you get your private membership.
Pay your $25, carry your bottle. Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And secondly, you said there's a lot of crap, or you didn't say crap, but a lot of things that went on in the Washington football team organization over the years that need to be cleaned out. Much like Knoxville, Tennessee, and the Tennessee Volunteers. They've absolutely gutted that place. So,
yeah.
A little college football.
Violations.
So,
yeah.
Fire some guys.
Yeah. Looks like Peyton's school's going to be in trouble. Should have gone to Ole Miss, Peyton. Yep. Like your brother. Okay.
Wow. the curse.
The curse of the Mannings.
Yeah, apparently. Well, Earl, again, we're talking with Earl Forrest with PJ Tour Radio. Let's get to the two games, championship games. Chiefs, Bills, Tampa, Green Bay. Who do you like in those games?
I guess I've talked about it before, but I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan. He's been consistently the best quarterback in the NFL in his decade and a half. As a starter, year in, year out, every single year in the NFL. And something happened this offseason, and part of it is, and I was critical of them drafting a quarterback in the first round that, still seems strange to me. You know, and maybe it was just the light of fire under him. Who knows? But that dude is back to being where he was 5 years ago, and maybe better because of the experience. So he's great. That team's got enough. They certainly have the weapons and offense, the defense in the last year and a half, 2 years, over these last two seasons, with free agents, and they signed one from DC's Preston Smith, one of their linebacker pass rushers, and Za'Darius Smith they got in last year too. So the bookend Smith, and he was from Baltimore. Za'Darius was. So they've done enough to upgrade the defense, and it was good last year, probably better last year. But it's tough for me to go against Aaron Rodgers. His one and maybe only opportunity in his career to win a championship at home. I mean, that's the thing we're talking about athletes to start and the opportunities you get. How good has Aaron Rodgers been forever? And this is the first time he's had a home championship game. They haven't.
That's hard to believe.
It's hard to believe, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Yeah, and the other thing is, I think they've been in the last 6 years. So they've been good, really good. They have. Their coach, Matt LaFleur, is, and again, I'll point this out, he was one of those early Washington football team staffers like Sean McVay, like all these guys that are littering the NFL now that they just let get away. They just let go. And they, until Ron Rivera came down, they couldn't find a coach. But all these guys go other places and they win. Kyle Shanahan, all these guys have their base Washington football that they just, couldn't peel themselves away from Jay Gruden. but all these other, so that's a pretty good coach, and his record first 2 years is phenomenal, and they get it. So I like Green Bay a lot. It's no offense to anybody else involved, but I'm kind of all in on Green Bay. And playing up there is really tough, and sure anything can happen. But my heart's with Rodgers in that. Buffalo and Kansas City.
Buffalo.
Buffalo is a soft spot now for me because they pretty much embarrassed the Ravens last week, and it was a game not as close as the score would indicate, and I'm always a fan when my neighbors to the north get beaten in the playoffs, so that was fine. And Stephon Diggs, has been a huge addition, Maryland receiver. Great addition, and that's something you're not supposed to be able to do is make these big trades, splash trades, pay a lot of money for one of these wide receivers. And it's this whole, again, it's the Twitter experts. Yeah, it doesn't work until it does work. They don't always work. And more often than not, they don't work. But if you make the right move, it does work. And Josh Allen is, arguably the best of the young quarterbacks now. in the NFL.
And they're not talking about him much.
The athleticism, the arm, the total package.
And he is.
It's the three-year progression. I talked about this on my show over the weekend, last weekend. It's the perfect scenario. Got in, got the job early, had the rookie growing pains, got better last year, took him to the playoffs, kind of did some questionable things and, you know, not good decisions in the playoff games. And you learn from that. And then third year has taken a step that just become phenomenal. So I know that's I think the general fan favorite. They'd love to see the Bills get another crack. That game is all about Patrick Mahomes, gentlemen.
And yes, it is.
Again, me being the quarterback, like the quarterback controls everything. And they're, you know, the analytics folks want to argue that it's not about quarterback wins. That team's about the quarterback in Kansas City. If Patrick Mahomes is healthy, and, you know, we still don't know, we expect him to be, and if there are no lingering effects from what happened last week, probably Kansas City wins that game. I think that's much more of a toss-up because the Bills are a team that can – to beat Kansas City, you're going to have to score points. Either you have to play shutdown defense, which is impossible, because somehow, some way, some guy that runs a 4.240 that you've never heard of before is going to score a touchdown for Kansas City. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
They're like the old St. Louis Rams where they just have guys. It's seven guys, and they're all Tyreek Hill. You know, they're just not named Tyreek Hill. That's how you win. So they're so tough to contain because of that, because some guy that's the sixth wide receiver can still make that play, and you can't cover. You don't have six defensive backs or somebody sneaks out. So that's what makes them tough, but it's really about Mahomes. If the backup quarterback plays, Buffalo is going to win, and it's going to be a wild story for them getting back. But if Mahomes plays, I think Kansas City wins. I don't think there's any doubt about that. In my opinion, they're still the best team, but, you know, it's really difficult to get back and do it again. And that's what made a New England's run so amazing, because it's so tough to do in all sports. It's particularly tough to do in the NFL. And New England basically did it for 20 years in a row, which is, you know, someone somewhere just likes Brady and Belichick. But, and that's the other thing on the other side, is Brady good enough to overcome Aaron Rodgers? And that's, and at this stage in his career, I'm not sure. Would I be surprised if Tom Brady's going to the Super Bowl on Monday? Of course I wouldn't be. But I just think there's a time and a place. And he's kind of proven his point that, you know, he still can play.
That is the Super Bowl.
New England was partly the reason they were winning was, he was part of the reason at least they were winning every year in New England. But I just think you get up there and get into Green Bay, that it's going to be probably Aaron Rodgers and Kansas City. Packers and Chiefs, which would be the Super Bowl 55. Would
rematch.
Rematch of Super Bowls, you know, 1 and 2, right?
Yeah, but I'd like to see the share that they garner, because I think that the Buccaneers in Green Bay is going to get a bigger TV share than the Super Bowl. I mean, it's going to be – well, I say that. Probably won't, because it won't be worldwide. But that's the Super Bowl to me. That's going to be the game to watch for me.
It's a great game. And it's you know, again
– and it's going to snow.
One. Don't go out and find the big-name quarterback and, you know, because that never works. Well, it does.
Yeah, it does.
You got the right team around.
Yeah, it does.
And Antonio Brown, which nobody wanted, and all this stuff. Leonard Fournette, which was, you know, cast off by Jacksonville. Well, all those guys are playing for a ring, you know, this weekend.
Yes,
so
they are.
It does work. It does work at times. It doesn't always work, but you can make it work. And just what all those four teams, and I told this to my son last week, even going into last week's games, when you still had, you know, Lamar Jackson alive and this guy alive and Drew Brees. I listed all the teams, said, what's the common threat? Quarterbacks. It's the quarterbacks. In the end, that cream rises to the top. And if you don't have that QB, which is my thing in Washington, you still don't. And you're not, who knows where you can get it. If you don't have it you're not going to do anything. Ultimately, you're not going to make this step. And it's all about the QB.
Well, Earl, we appreciate it as always.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, don't cut him off. What were you going to say, Earl? Go ahead.
I talk so much. I could do that. I could do that. We could break down.
You did. You said it's good. Like, we didn't get a Super Bowl pick, but you said
we could break down film if you want to. You know.
You got Chiefs and Packers. Chiefs and Packers.
Yeah, right? I'm going to go with Chiefs and Packers. But again, no one can be surprised if Tom Brady goes up there and pulls it off. Because what the two teams I didn't pick, but what they both can do is they both can score. And that's what you have to do to beat Rodgers and to beat Mahomes. You have to be able to score.
Well, and to me, it's just phenomenal. Rodgers has never had a home game in the championship there in Green Bay.
Even when he won a Super Bowl, right? He's only won one. He had to go through Chicago. If you guys remember back then, 2010, 2011, they had to beat the Bears in Chicago to get
and
to
that guy
Dallas
waited around
Super Bowl
in the green room at the NFL draft. He was the last guy at the table.
Yep.
In there.
Yeah.
Everybody else was picked before him. That's a thing like Brady. If you've ever seen the Brady Six, there's no doubt in my mind that because Aaron Rodgers waited the 22 or whatever it was, that to this day still is a reason why a lot of other teams are paying for it. No doubt.
You better believe it. Yeah. You know, the one thing about about Aaron Rodgers is that he is cruel to animals. We know that. By virtue of his TV commercial where he wears his poor dog out in the State Farm commercial. So,
I thought you meant because he beats up on the Bears all the time.
Well, that too.
Get it? And lions? Yeah.
Yeah, his poor dog can't even, you know, he throws the ball so far his poor dog finally gives out and just collapses.
Hey, Earl, when you do the American Express, who's going to be joining you? Do you know who's on the team with you broadcast-wise?
It's Mark McCumber this weekend. Fred Albers is on the course. Bill Rosinski is back.
Good.
From football duty, so he's on the course. This is like a Bill event. He loves doing the desert event, so this is usually when he comes back. So that's the crew, and Mark Zucchino as well. So.
Oh, no. Well, I'm sorry, Earl.
Other than that.
I'm sorry. give him some Xanax before he goes on the air.
So,
he gets a little. He gets fired up. Rosinski, we love, and Zucchino too. Zucchino is a big part of Golf Talk America. His show, Golf Talk Canada, is a good show too. So,
yeah,
it's a great
team. Everybody should listen.
And you are the quarterback of that team, so you're responsible for how good they are. There you go.
You're right. Absolutely. There's no doubt. It's all about the quarterback. Man behind center touches the ball every play. So I'm not going to argue with you there because
Earl, first round pick, Earl Forsey.
We've got a female kicker in Nashville we'll send you if you need it, okay?
Earl, we appreciate your time as always and all your thoughts and insight into everything, and have a good time with the call out in the desert, and we'll be listening to you again real soon, I'm sure, and having you on the show, okay?
Awesome. Good to join you. You know, Happy New Year, because I haven't done this since we turned to the new year, so good to talk to you again, and you guys take care, and we'll do it again real soon.
Thanks, buddy. We'll listen to you on the air this afternoon. Take care. See ya.
Thank you, Earl. We appreciate it. Earl Forsey, PGA Tour Radio, and doing the call from the American Express out at La Quinta, which I always enjoy watching.
He does such a good
job. A lot of fun. All the tournaments.
He does such a good job herding that group.
And he's based in Washington, so if anybody missed out on that or hasn't listened to our show before with Earl on there, we talk a lot about Washington because that's where he's been for the last 30 years or so as a radio broadcaster.
We didn't talk about the lockdown with him. We wanted to, but I don't think he really wanted to talk about that either. That's political, and we don't want to go there because this is not a political show.
Sometimes, not for the most part. Once in a while, we take our jabs every now and then.
We do.
Well, I'm going to disagree with his call on at least one of those games. Although, and that is the Tampa Bay Green Bay game.
I think Brady
is the intangible guy that just always does things that people. Now, obviously, I'm guessing he's not going to be able to win Super Bowls till he's 50 years old. I get that. But he is still – you saw what he did against New Orleans, and, of course, he had a lot of help from the defense and the four turnovers and everything else. They made Drew Brees look very, very average. It was not the game Drew Brees wanted to go out on, that's for sure, but still a Hall of Fame incredible career. But Brady, second half, does things just like that Atlanta Super Bowl. You look down, you look beaten. They didn't look good at all. They weren't coming through an offense. They were three and outs a bunch of times. But when he needs to, he buckles down. When it's third and 12, he completes a 13-yard pass. He just gets it done. I just have a feeling that that the defense, A, for sure, is going to be a lot tougher for Aaron Rodgers than people think. So I think they're going to give him a tough time. Maybe not four turnovers, but I think they're going to give him a tough time. And I think Brady, I'm not ready to bet against Tom Brady at this point. He's been to about a Super Bowl half of his career, right? Isn't that what he's going for? Like 10 out of 20, 21 years.
And he has a team full of hungry boys. Those boys are hungry for a ring.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. And they all admire him, and they all look up to him. And he's got a coach who's a gunslinger, which I think is part of it too. And not to say that LaFleur isn't, but I really think in today's NFL, Ron Rivera, part of that as well in Washington, is you've got to have a guy who's willing to, and Tennessee has that guy, you got to be willing to put it out there. The guys that want to play the third down and 3 yards, let's drive it up the middle.
Give me
and come
three
up
and a cloud of
short, kind of
Woody Hayes ball.
Is not, yeah, it's just not going to happen. It's just not, and not you don't. So I think you know, he's got Bruce Arians is there to say, let's just go deep. It's third and one. What should we do? Go deep.
Go deep.
All he play wants to do is throw the ball deep. But I think that Tampa's going to win, and I think the Chiefs will probably win. Certainly, if Mahomes plays, if he doesn't, it's
plays.
A different game.
I want the Bills to go to the Super Bowl.
Frank, nobody is predicting Bills against the Bucks, though, are they?
No, they aren't.
That's not a matchup
no,
that
almost
anybody's saying, and it could happen. I mean, both those teams or all those teams certainly have the ability, but it could happen.
Do you think if the Bills go to the Super Bowl that they'll bring OJ to bring out the ball? First ball.
Really? That's your question.
Flip the
Let
coin.
Me think. Let me think real hard on this. I'm going to say no. they don't even know the initials OJ anymore.
And no people have forgotten him. They've forgotten him. Yeah.
I know.
He had a great run up there. That's, so to speak.
Yeah, so to speak. Literally.
So to speak. Anyway,
it'll be fun.
It's the first day of the new presidency. We wish our government the very best. We really do. Let's do a good job. Let's do stuff for the people, folks.
Yeah, let's just get to that.
Let's help the people.
Try to make life better for people that need it.
And leave Trump alone and let him play golf, because I'm heading down there to play golf in another month. So I'm going to Trump's place.
Well, I think as much as anything, you know, final statement on this, is people, no matter what your party might be, slant in the way that you lean, we just want them to be civil and do what we sent them there as congressmen and senators and presidents, vice presidents, everybody else
to do.
Do some work that's going to help people. Don't worry about fighting each other and never getting to the work that you're there to do, because you're constantly battling with each other and getting in front of a microphone to say how stupid the other side. That has worn out everybody. And if you just get away from it and say, here's a new stimulus check, and here's what we're going to do for the pandemic, and all the things that people need, I think we'll all be fine, and we'll no matter what your party, just stop doing the crap that you've been doing. And it doesn't matter. And if people want to say, well, you caused the crap. Okay, whoever, it doesn't matter.
Whoever caused it. Doesn't matter.
Let's stop it, and let's get to what you're getting there to do and getting paid well to do, and let's help the people.
Well, I'm leaving the Republican Party, and I'm forming my own party. It's going to be called the Daily Party.
Would that be the Glenn Levitt Party?
The Daily Party. Exactly. We're going to have a daily party.
If the Washington football team doesn't have a mascot, you've got one for them. It's called the Glenn Levitts.
The Glenn Levitts. And we're going to incorporate in Oxford, Mississippi, the Daily Party. And there you go.
Yeah.
Come on. Anyway, it's been fun. It's been real, but it hasn't been surreal. So there.
Yeah, so we're there. We're done.
We're done.
We're out of time, and we do appreciate everybody listening to the irreverence that we throw at you every time right here on Golf Talk America. Thank you to Earl Forsey for joining us. And be sure to catch Earl and all the boys doing the coverage, and women doing the coverage, on PGA Tour Radio. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us. Remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.